what chapter in the Bible we've been studying. Anybody? 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, please. And we've gotten down to where David was standing before Saul and telling him the story about the lion and the bear. David had faith that God wanted him to go fight Goliath and defeat Goliath. And he's telling Saul that I can do this. I have done this kind of thing before. There was a lion and a bear that attacked my sheep, and I was able to kill both the lion and the bear. And verse 37 is where we're going to pick up today. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this story about David defeating Goliath. Thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to put it into the Bible for us to learn by, to see David's great faith, to see that the giants in our lives can be defeated through faith as David defeated Goliath. Thank you, Lord, for this story. Help the young people to understand it. Help each one of us to be able to apply the principles of this story to our lives, that we would be able to get the victory over the giants in our life. I pray your blessing now. Help me to make the message plain to the young people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So the story, the title of the message this morning is simply David Defeats Goliath. David Defeats Goliath. The first point I want us all to notice this morning is found in verse 38. Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go. That means he hesitated to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. The first point this morning, kids, is unproven armor, unproven weapons are not helpful. Unproven armor and weapons are not helpful. David had never practiced with Saul's armor. Here David was going to go attack a giant that size, and Saul decided that, well, in order to protect this boy, this young man, our champion, who's going to go against the Philistine champion, I'm going to give him the best armor. And so Saul gave David his own armor, and we all noticed that David had to be similar in size. He had to at least be a grown young man, not a 10-year-old boy, in order to fit Saul's armor. Otherwise, it would be hilarious for Saul to be giving David his armor, right? So David, again, he's 18, maybe as much as 24 years old, maybe as young as 16. We don't know for sure. But he's pretty much full grown, okay? And David is going up against this Philistine. Saul says, I'm going to protect you the best I can. He puts his armor on David, and David tries moving around in this weird, bulky stuff that he's never worn before. He tries to pull the sword out, he wields it a little bit maybe, and he's never fought anybody. He's never practiced with all this stuff. And so he says, you know, Saul, I appreciate the thought, but I can't go into battle with this stuff. I've never practiced. Unproven armor and weapons are not helpful. David was unskilled using a sword and shield. If he had gone into battle with that stuff, David would have been placing himself in more danger by taking them with him than without taking any armor at all. And the idea here, kids, I want you to understand is God has given us armor that He wants us to be using. God has given us armor that we're supposed to be skilled at using. We're not supposed to leave God's armor that He has given us sitting on a shelf somewhere. We're supposed to take God's armor, put it on, and use it every day. Practice with it every day in order for when the real battle comes, we'll know how to use these weapons that God has given us, the armor that God has given to us. So let's take a look, kids, at the armor of God. Swords ready. Swords ready, up in the air. Ephesians 6:13. Ephesians 6:13. Go. Very good. Ephesians 6:13 says again, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're going to go on. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Kids, what is the first piece of armor that God has given to you and I? We are to gird our loins about with truth. God has given us truth That is a piece of armor that we're supposed to use. We are supposed to practice using truth, honesty. The Bible says the truth will set you free. Truth is one of the pieces of armor that we are supposed to wear daily. In other words, we're never supposed to take and put upon ourselves dishonesty, right? God wants us to use truth at all times. Use truth to protect yourself. Use truth to protect others. The second piece of armor that God has given to us. Verse 14 says, your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. God has given us His righteousness, and we are to use righteousness in our lives every day. We are to be righteous, live righteous lives. That will defend you from many evils. Righteousness, living a righteous life. The third piece of armor that God has given to us is found in verse 15. Somebody read verse 15. Who's got it? Ephesians 6, 15. Who's got it? Nobody kept their place? Jonathan, you got it?
And your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace.
So what piece of armor, Jonathan, do you think God gave to us in that verse? The preparation of the gospel. Notice it's interesting. It doesn't say He just gave us the gospel of peace. He said He gave us the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean to you and I? We have to be ready to use the gospel, right? We don't just have the gospel in the Bible. We know it's there. And someday, when God gives us the opportunity, we'll suddenly know that, oh, I can share the gospel with this person. Let's see. The gospel is, let's see. Oh boy, well, I wonder where it's at. Uh-oh. I'm not prepared. I don't know where the gospel is found. I'm not ready to share the gospel. You and I need to be ready to share the gospel. Be prepared to share the gospel. What's that going to take? That's going to take me knowing where the gospel is in the Bible. And being able to go there to the verses and being able to read the verses. And one of the most famous sections of the Bible that explains how to be saved is the Romans Road. Many verses in Romans. So if you want to be prepared to share the gospel, that's one of the sections of Scripture that you can memorize and learn where the passages are. Romans chapter 3 is where it begins. And it goes all the way through in several places of Romans. We have to be prepared to share the gospel. Then the next piece of armor that God has given to us is found in verse 16. Above all, it says, above everything else, if you're going to defend yourself, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, this guy, we don't see a shield. The picture's cut off. But a shield is the most important defensive weapon to protect you from the enemy's attack. Above everything else, in order to protect your walk with God, you must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take faith above all things. Faith is the most important piece of armor that God has given to you and I. Faith is how we get saved, isn't it? Without faith, there would be no salvation. We have to have faith to be saved. And then the next piece of armor falls right after that, of course. Take the helmet of salvation. You're not going to be defended from Satan's attacks if you are not saved. You need to be saved to be defended from the devil. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Kids, what is the Word of God to us today? Do you have the Word of God? Show me the Word of God. Hold it up. Amen. It's the Bible, right? Take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Be able to use your sword. Be able to share verses with other people. That's what is so important about the memory verses that we do. We're putting God's Word to memory, implanting it in our minds so that another day we can recall those verses and share them with others. And we can also use them to defend ourselves against Satan's temptations. So there's two uses for memorizing the Word of God. Number one, to share the gospel. And number two, to defend yourself against Satan's attacks. To defend against sin. The Bible says in Psalm, I forget the passage, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not," what's the end of it? "Sin against thee." We hide God's word in our hearts so that I won't sin against God. It's important to know the word of God. And the last piece of armor that God has given to us, it's one of the two offensive weapons. One offensive weapon is the word of God, the Bible. We use that to share with other people and to break down their defenses. And the other weapon is prayer. Prayer. Verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance." What does that word perseverance mean? We're to pray with perseverance. It means we're to continue praying. We're to follow through with our prayers. We're to not let doubts come between me and prayer. I am to pray all the way through. I'm to pray until I die. I am to pray until either I die or my prayer is answered. Pray with perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given us armor. This armor right here: truth, righteousness, a prepared gospel, faith, salvation, the Word of God, and prayer. Seven pieces of armor that He wants us to put on every day and practice using so that they are proven. We are skilled at using them. We know what we are doing with these pieces of armor. David didn't know what he was doing with Saul's armor. He was unproven with Saul's armor. That armor was strange to David. He had never fought. He didn't fight that lion or that bear with Saul's armor, did he? He only had his shepherd staff and sling to fight the lion and the bear. And so David said, "Saul, I can't take this armor. I don't know how to use it. I will take what I do know how to use. I will take what I do know how to use." And you and I are to be using and practicing with our weapons until we are skillful using them, just like David was skillful using his staff and sling. So go back now to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. The second thing I want you to notice in this story is the five stones. The five stones. Verse 40. "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Kids, how many stones did it take for David to kill Goliath? One. But he took five. But he only needed one. What does that tell us? David didn't know how the battle was going to turn out. David didn't know he only needed one, did he? David took five. David did not know how God was going to use him in the upcoming few minutes. Sometimes we may think that because David knew he was the next anointed king of Israel, we may think that David figured he couldn't be killed. That's why David was willing to go against Goliath, because David knew he couldn't be killed because he was the next anointed king of Israel. That's not what David thought. David knew he could be killed. Just because he was the next anointed king did not guarantee David's safety. David could have been killed. The anointing that God anointed David with was not protection. David was not guaranteed his life. The anointing simply was, God said, you are my choice for the next king. You are my choice for the next king. It was not a guarantee of safety. So David could have been killed by this giant. It took great faith for David to go against Goliath. That's a scary guy. Do you see how big he is? Who wants to come up and stand on the platform and see how big he is? Come on, Joe. Stand up here. Now again, don't stand here. Stand here, because where his head ends up is as if he's standing right here. That's a big guy, huh? Do you want to fight him? No, I don't want to fight him either. I don't blame you. All right, go have a seat. Anybody else want to come up and see how big he is? All right. He is a big, scary guy. He's broad, he's muscular, and he's well defended. You see that armor? Even if I had a sword, I'm going to have to get past his shield, past his spear, past his sword, and I'm going to have to penetrate that armor with my sword in order to kill the guy. Man, that is one scary dude. It took great faith for David to go against him. The five stones that David took are evidence to us that David did not know how this fight was going to go down. He didn't know that he only needed one. Otherwise, he probably would have taken just one. David probably had thoughts similar to this. David was probably thinking when he went to pick up the stones, at my very best, when I'm moving my fastest, when I'm shooting my best, at my very best and my very fastest, I am only going to have time to sling 3 or 4, maybe 5 stones before Goliath gets to me and chops me in 2 pieces. I only have time to sling out 3 stones, maybe 4, maybe 5, before Goliath gets to me and kills me. That's probably what David was thinking. I don't have time to sling out 10 stones. They're just going to be in my way. I need to grab just 5. I'm sure that the Lord is going to help me hit him with one of the first 3 stones. I'm sure that God is going to help me hit him and slow him down, wound him, so that I can have one final clean kill shot with the 4th or the 5th stone. That's probably the idea that David had in mind when he picked up 5 smooth stones out of the brook. I'll slow him down with the first 2 or 3. Once he's wounded and hobbling towards me, then maybe I can finish him off with the 4th or 5th one. David had great faith that God was indeed going to protect him. God was indeed going to use him to take out the giant. Then thirdly, I want us to notice and take a close look at David's faith and his reliance upon God in this story. Go down to verse 45. The Philistine has cursed David by his gods. David is out on the field approaching the giant, and the giant did some blustering. Boy, I'm going to kill you, you little worm. And David doesn't bluster like the Philistine blustered. David didn't boast about how good he was with the slingshot. David didn't boast about how well he was going to hit Goliath. David boasted in God alone. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David's faith and his reliance upon God pointed out three things. The first thing here is found here in this verse. He says, you come to me with a sword, a great big sword. You come to me with a great big spear, and a great big shield to protect yourself, but I come to you solely in the name of the Lord. David knew that God is more powerful than the circumstances that he faced. David knew that God was more powerful than that giant. With all of his armor, all of his weapons, David knew that God is stronger than Goliath. It's not me, David said, that is going to kill you. It's God using me who is going to kill you. Verse 46. David continued. He said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee." He's not boasting that I'm the great guy here. He says, "This day the Lord is going to do it. I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." Why? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. God is going to do this. The second thing we can see in this verse that David knew is that God can use anyone to accomplish his will. God can use anyone to accomplish his will. David is just a young lad, and he's going to face a seasoned, trained warrior who is half the size again, as big as David. I'm 6 foot tall. David probably wasn't 6 foot tall. He was probably 5'8", 5'10". Goliath is 9 feet and about 8 inches. We don't know for sure, but 9 feet, 8 inches. That's 3.5 feet taller than me. He's huge. David is practically 60% of his size. Just 60% of his size. He comes to his waist. God can use anyone to defeat Goliath. He can use me. I'm just a shepherd boy. But God is going to use me to defeat the giant, the champion of the Philistines. David knew that God can use, God can use anyone. And God can use you, young people. God can use you to accomplish his will. I, the lowly shepherd boy, am going to remove the giant's head today because of God. Because God is going to use me. That's the second thing David knew. God is more powerful than all circumstances. God can use anyone to accomplish his will in any circumstance. And the last thing that David's faith shows us is that David knew that God, number three, God has power over every battle. God has power over every battle. Verse 47, the end of verse 46 says, "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." David says God controls this battle. God has power over the outcome here. It's God who will defeat you through using me, a lowly shepherd boy. David has great faith. And God can use anyone with great faith. Last point. Victory over the giant was given to David because of his faith in God. Victory over the giant was given to David because of his faith in God. Let's read the story again. Verse 48. "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." He wasn't hesitant to meet Goliath. He ran toward Goliath. He said, "God is going to give you into my hand. I know it. Let's get this done." And he runs toward Goliath. "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead." You see that? His head up there? That's one of the few unprotected... His forehead there is one of the few unprotected spots that is lethal to him. There's no other spot that's lethal. He could have hit him in the leg, in the waist, in the arm, but that wasn't going to stop him. The only unprotected spot was his face, his head. And David's faith, God was able to use David's faith and hit the giant in the only place that would stop him, his forehead, his face. He slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword, took the Philistine's sword out of the sheath, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And that way both armies that were standing far off on those hillsides could be sure when David picked up the head of Goliath. Both armies knew for sure then the champion is dead. That's why David did that. He cut off his head therewith, and when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The guy who is standing between us and the enemy is dead. Let's run, guys. Let's get out of here. A shepherd boy defeated our champion. There's no way we're going to stand against the army of God today. Victory over the giant was given because of David's faith in God. Not because of David's skill. Not because David was a special person. Simply because David had faith in the Lord. Each of us has a giant in our life. Remember what I said, kids, that Goliath, who Goliath represents? Does somebody remember who Goliath represents? Yes, he can represent Satan, but he also represents someone more personal to you. Who does Goliath represent? Your sin nature. My sin nature. Goliath represents our sin nature. And our sin nature is a giant that must be defeated. Our sin nature is standing between you and fellowship with your God. My sin nature is standing between me and fellowship with my Lord. Our sin nature must be defeated. And it is only through faith that our giant sin nature can be defeated. You and I cannot do it alone. Young person, if you have never been saved, then your giant sin nature still has all that weaponry. There is no way for you to defeat your sin nature. He's well armed, he's well protected, he will defeat you every time. You have no defense against your sin nature if you have never been saved. You need Jesus to wash your sinful heart clean. You need Jesus to take his blood that he shed on the cross for you and to wash you clean as white as snow. You need Jesus to forgive you of your many wicked sins. That is the first step. If you have never been saved, that is the first step that you need to take to have victory over your sin nature. You'll never have sin nature without Jesus Christ. You'll never have victory over your sin if you are not saved. Jesus will forgive you of your sins. He will wash them away. He will come into your heart and he will be your Lord and Savior if you ask him, if you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to do that. You see, Jesus will win the victory over your sin nature. If you're not saved today, your sin nature looks similar to this guy right here. He's got armor, he's got weapons. And you and I do not have that kind of weaponry. You and I cannot defeat that giant sin nature by ourselves. But once you get saved, Jesus wins the battle over that giant. When you get saved, Jesus comes into your heart and he takes everything away from that giant. Jesus takes his shield, his sword, his spear, he takes all of his armor, he leaves him with nothing but his clothes. He's barren. There is no way that giant has any power to defeat you anymore. Jesus does that once you get saved. He takes all the armaments away from your sin nature, all the weapons that can defeat you. That giant sin nature in your heart is beaten. He's defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot win a battle against you because Jesus is in your heart. He doesn't have any more weapons to fight with. Jesus took all of his power away. Jesus took all of your sin nature's power away when you got saved. Now, after you are saved and several days go by, is the giant dead in your heart? Your sin nature, is it dead? No, it's not dead. It's just been stripped of all its weapons. He has no power. He can't make you do anything anymore. Before, you couldn't resist him. Before, he had all the weapons. When you got saved, Jesus took all that away from him and left him bare, left him powerless. You don't have to listen to your sin nature anymore. Jesus defeated him. But he can still win. Because he still has a mouth. And he can convince you with his mouth to go ahead and sin. Man, my brother just hit me. Your brother just hit you. Go ahead and slug him back. He can't make you do it. He has no power anymore. All he can do is talk. Your sin nature can't get the victory unless you simply obey him. He's talking, he says, do that sin. You want to do it, you know you want to do it, go ahead and do it. But he can't make you do it. You have to say, okay, sin nature, I'm just going to go ahead and do what you say and I'm going to slug my brother. He didn't make you do it. Jesus took his power away. You chose to obey your sin nature. He can still win if you listen to him. But you don't have to listen to him anymore. Jesus made him powerless. So what do I do when I'm tempted to sin? When my sin nature gets all riled up inside of me and I want to be wicked, what should I do? Well, first of all, when you are tempted to sin, stop and pray. Stop and pray. Say, dear Lord Jesus, there's a temptation in my life right now. Man, I really want to do this wicked thing, but I know it's wrong. Would you help me to not do it? Would you help me to not do it? Stop and pray. First thing, ask Jesus to give you the victory over the sin that is tempting you right now. And you can pray silently. You don't have to pray out loud. You don't have to embarrass yourself if there's a crowd of people. You don't have to embarrass yourself. Just stop and pray silently. Lord Jesus, please help me. Please give me the victory over that. I know it's wrong. Would you help me to be able to say no to my sin nature? And if the temptation doesn't go away with that, if Satan continues to tempt you, you can do one more thing. You can rebuke the devil. The Bible says, rebuke the devil and he will, what? Flee from you. When Jesus took your sin nature's power away, he also took the devil's power away over your life. The devil and your sin nature are powerless against you. They only use their mouth now. Do that. You want to do it. Go ahead and do it. But Jesus made them powerless. You can rebuke the devil. You first stop and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm being tempted to do wrong. Would you help me to do right? And if the temptation doesn't stop, number one, you can keep praying. But then you can also rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. How do I do that? How do I rebuke the devil properly? You can say something like this. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Now, you have to say it out loud. You can pray silently to Jesus, but you have to speak to the devil out loud. Does somebody know why? Does anybody know why you have to speak out loud? You can pray silently because Jesus knows your thoughts, right? Does the devil know your thoughts? No, he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He does not know what you think. He cannot read your thoughts. If you are going to rebuke the devil, you must rebuke him audibly, out loud. It doesn't work to say in your mind, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. He can't hear it. You have to say it audibly. So pray to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I'm being tempted. Would you please give me victory over this sin? If you still are being tempted, you can then rebuke the devil audibly. Satan, in the name of Jesus, why do you need to say in the name of Jesus? Because it's Jesus who has the power over the devil. You don't have the power over the devil. You cannot just rebuke the devil through your own power. He will laugh in your face. You must take the name of Jesus and throw it at the devil. You must claim the name of Jesus to have power over the devil. You must rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. It won't work otherwise. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus and through His shed blood, I take authority over you and I command you to leave me alone. Get out of here. Kids, I'm not joking. This is what you can do if you're born again. God has given you the power and the authority through Jesus and through His blood to rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. If you're being tempted, pray and ask Jesus, please help me. If the temptation doesn't go away, keep praying, but also you can rebuke the devil out loud. Devil, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Leave me alone. Don't tempt me anymore. I don't want to do that. Swords up. One more verse. Philippians 2:10. Philippians 2:10. Go. Very good. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Jesus took authority over the devil. At the name of Jesus, Satan must bow. Satan must step back and say, okay, I have to do what Jesus tells me to do. He has power over me. When you claim the name of Jesus, you are given by Jesus the power over the devil. You can rebuke the devil through the name of Jesus. Devil, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. I rebuke you. Leave me alone in Jesus' name. And he must obey. He cannot go against the name of Jesus. He must obey Jesus Christ. Always, always, always claim His name. You have no power outside the name of Christ. Claim the blood of Christ. You have no power outside the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is what washed your sins away. The name of Jesus and the shed blood of Christ are the most powerful powers in the universe. Jesus Christ and His shed blood are the most powerful weapons in the whole universe. Jesus has creative power. He made everything by His word. Jesus took authority over the devil. He took authority over your sin nature. He took all the weapons away. You don't have to obey your sin nature. You don't have to obey the devil. Claim the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, You took the victory here. You've already won the victory. Please help me to go ahead and take it and say no to sin. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Lord Jesus, thank You for David and the victory that he got over the giant Goliath. Please help each one of us to be able to have victory over our sin nature. Please bind Satan and all his demons that are trying to keep these young people from trusting You, Lord Jesus. I pray for the young ones who don't quite understand the gospel yet. Please open their understanding, Lord Jesus, so that they can accept You in faith as their Savior. Lord, if there's one here today that needs to get victory over their sin nature, I pray that they would do that this morning, that they would learn how to do that, that each of the young people here would take what I've taught them to heart and to use it in their life to get the victory over their sin. Bless this message, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's